You say, well, what's White River Baptist Church like? Well, just come to a service of Blessed Hope and you'll figure it out. Amen. And I don't reinvent the wheel. And just do what I was taught and had good teachers. Amen. And just try to take what was invested in me and invest in the people God's called us to reach. And what a blessing it is. Amen. And folks, I know it's 2021, all right? I know the world seems to be falling apart around us, but last time I checked, God's still on the throne. Souls are still being saved, amen. Lives are still being changed. I think I'll just keep on keeping on, amen. And I pray that we all would have that attitude and that and spirit. Well, I want to just, before we get into the message tonight, by the way, there is going to be a message, okay? I've had missionaries all month, too, and haven't preached much, so you're getting a truckload tonight, amen. And my people know what sermon number two is also, okay? And especially when I have missionaries in, you know? And so, you know, I'm not re-preaching their message, but I got to preach my message. But anyway, but a lot of good things going on down in Princeton. And a lot of good things. Church is going well. Lord's blessing. We had this last fall, the best fall program we've had since we started the church. And the best attendance campaign. We had in about an 8-week period, we have about 70 first-time visitors. And we're still having first-time visitors come. And so what a blessing that is. Got to baptize about a dozen people this fall and got new families coming to the church. And how exciting. We were able to, a lot of our church folk, some of their children got saved this last month or so and got to baptize about four of our church young people. And so it's good stuff. Amen. And as I was thinking about what to kind of talk about as far as the church, I thought about a few different stories I wanted to share with you. And I want to share them with you, folks, because it wouldn't be possible without your investment. And White River Baptist Church would not be what it is without Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so I want to just let you know a little bit of the fruit that's added to your account and tell you some of the lives the Lord's been working in. First testimony I want to give you is about a man named Adam. I met Adam at the car wash in town. And my church, for my birthday last year, bought me a unlimited pass to the car wash. And now that I have a newer truck than that old Danger Ranger I drove for a while, I like keeping it clean. And so they bought me an unlimited pass to the car wash. And trust me, they're going to be losing money on my vehicle. I can tell you that. I go through that thing about 3 to 4 times a week. I started going through last spring, and one of the guys working there was out taking the trash out, struck up a conversation with them, began to speak with them, and kind of just started befriending them a little bit and got to know them. And every time I go to the car wash, I always roll my window down and talk to them. And, of course, invite them to church. And, you know, the first couple times he's like, well, you know, thanks for the invite, but I work on Sundays. You know, that's what he would tell me. Well, come this fall, I gave him an invitation to the fall program and, you know, kind of about the same response. Well, I think it was the week after the fall program, so the second Sunday in October that week, I drove through the wash, and he tapped on my window before I could roll it down and talk to him. He's like, hey, can I call you later? I'm like, sure. Gave him my phone number, and he called me, began to open up about things going on in his life and things that, you know, God was bringing him to, or circumstances that were driving him toward the Lord. And Adam showed up the following Sunday. And he's been coming ever since. He's already saved, already had a salvation testimony, just away from the Lord. And he's been coming. God's been working in his heart, working in his life. Come to me a few weeks ago, he was preaching, and he's, I need something to do. He's like, I need something to help me fill a part. What can I do? Well, I was not up to date on keeping my sermons edited and put on our website. And so I asked him if he knew how to do that. He did. And so now he's responsible for taking care of that. And Lord's just working in his heart, working in his life. And what a blessing. Then I want to tell you about a man named Tony. And in fact, I wrote about him in my missions letter. If you read it, I put it out a couple weeks ago. But Tony showed up again in October and came to the door and began to tell me a story. He says, I've been away from the Lord. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I've just been away from God. He says, I know I need to be in church. And I was praying about, you know, what church I ought to go to. And I go out on my door that Saturday, and there's an invitation to this White River Baptist Church. He says, I've got about a dozen of these things on my door in the last 4.5 years. I guess I maybe figured this is probably my turn to go. And so he came, and he's been coming ever since. God's been working in his life. He's already brought a friend to church with him. He's making an impact in his workplace. He's already been there was a young man he was witnessing to at his work and been concerned about. And he didn't particularly lead him to the Lord, but no doubt through his testimony, this young man at his work just got saved about a month ago. And just excited, big smile on his face, and excited about what the Lord's doing in his life. Then I'm going to tell you about a man named Nathan. And we all know there's some Nathans that need to be saved. Amen? So I'm looking at one. No, just kidding. But Elias and I were out. We're doing what y'all are doing. We're hitting our rural areas. And I'm sure it's similar in Greene County, but in Gibson County, we have 1,100 miles of county roads. And you think about that for a minute, 1,100 miles. And folks, I've done my research. More than likely, the generation of people that are living on those roads have never had the gospel taken to them. Have never had someone go to their door. And in fact, a lot of times when we're out door knocking, they're like, Baptist, what are you guys doing out here, you know? But we were out in the country, out knocking doors, and there was a little subdivision out in the country. And we had talked to a few people, go up to the door, knock on the door, and this lady came to the door. Her name was Kay. We began speaking with her, and had a good visit with her. We was walking back to the truck, and here come a guy around the corner of the house. And he walks up to me and he's like, man, I like your truck. By the way, that's why I have my truck in my beard. Soul winning tools. Amen. Soul winning tools. There you go. But anyway, I started talking to him about my truck. And we struck up a conversation. And I could tell, you know, you kind of got a feeling for how some folks are. I could tell, you know, he had maybe there's some stuff going on in his life. And he told me right away. He says, yeah, he says, I'm dealing with some stuff. And I said, well, how long you been clean? Because I knew where he was going with it. He says, I've been clean 2 days. I said, well, hey, there you go. There's a start. I said, let me ask you this. I said, I'm glad that you're away from drugs. I said, but what about your soul? Is it clean? And begin to talk to him about the Lord. Got to lead him to Christ right there out on his doorstep. And he told me, he says, and I asked him, of course, I said, man, Nathan, I said, if you're going to make it, you got to get in church. I said, will you come tomorrow? He says, sure, come pick me up and I'll go. So go out there Sunday morning, knock on his door, nothing. Call him on the phone, nothing. I'm like, oh, man, I've been down this road before, right? And so anyway, he didn't come that Sunday. So I go back the next Saturday to talk to him. And I knock on the door, and he wasn't there, but his mother-in-law was there, and her name was Kay. I spoke with her a few weeks ago and got to lead her to Christ. And as I was finishing up with her, here comes Nathan. And he's like, I promise you, I did oversleep, and I promise you, I really, really missed your phone call. He said, I wasn't trying to ignore you. I said, okay, all right, well, if that's true, be at church tomorrow. He says, I'll be there. And you know what? He's been there every Sunday since, amen? And God's working in his heart, working in his life. I picked him up for church for our Christmas Eve service. He says, you know, preacher, he says, this is the first time in 10 years I haven't been in jail on the Christmas Eve. First time. And you know what? God is working in Nathan. And he's actually got a burden to reach other addicts. And he's reaching out to them. And he's always posting stuff online about, you got to come check out my church and all that. But anyway, I just wanted to share those testimonies. And just let you know that that God's working, amen. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. And so thank you, church, for the investment. We sincerely appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles, Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16. I want to share a truth with you tonight that God showed me. And relating it to kind of some things going on in our world, but also toward this idea of going forward in the day and age we're living in. And folks, listen, I mentioned it before, but this is not the time to stop. Amen? This isn't the time to put it in neutral. This isn't the time to put on cruise control. Now more than ever, dude, we need to be giving it all we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm here, Psalms chapter 16, the Lord showed me some truths out of this. And so I want to share them with you tonight. So if you find your place, stand with me together. I'm going to read all 11 verses of Psalms 16. The Bible says, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Our text verse tonight's verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for these good people. What a blessing it is, Lord. My heart is just so thrilled to be here and just interact and talk with folks I haven't seen in a while. Lord, thank you for this place, God. Thank you. Now, Lord, speak to us tonight. We need to hear from you. Lord, folks didn't come tonight to hear from me. They come to hear from you. And Holy Spirit of God, we ask you to be in our presence tonight. Meet with us. Speak to us, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak on this subject for a few moments. How not to fret over an unknown future. How not to fret over an unknown future. Let's face it, folks. What we've been through in the last 12 to 14 months has been one crazy ride, has it not? I mean, 1 year ago, we never would have imagined the state that we find our world in today. And no doubt things have changed, have they not? There's been all kinds of interesting headlines in the last few months. Whether we want to admit it or not, this crazy virus thing has changed our lives. The crazy wildfires going on. This last summer, went out to California and Oregon for on vacation. And as we were driving, literally the ash was falling on our vehicles we were driving through. I'd never seen anything quite like that before. People losing their homes and losing their livelihoods. Of course, the above average hurricane season, the economic of unrest. How could we not forget the Asian murder hornets, right? Okay. But of course, all the political shakeups here and around the world. And folks, truth be told, if we're not careful, we can get caught up in the whirlwind of craziness that seems to be ravaging our planet and get our eyes off the one who has all things in his power. A statement I make to my church all the time is this, folks, things aren't falling apart, they're falling in place. And as far as what's going on in the world, we understand some of those things. But truth be told, I don't want to just relate that to that tonight. Even when it comes to ministry, you know, sometimes there is there's a fretfulness, there's a fearfulness that comes along when God asks us to step out by faith and accomplish things for Him. In fact, I thought it very interesting. If you start chasing the phrase through the Bible, I believe it's over 170 times you find the phrase "fear not." Usually when God comes and calls one of his servants, the first thing he has to say to them is this, fear not. Fear not, okay? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes some of the things God asks us to do can cause some fear. Remember when God called us to step out and pursue planting White River Baptist Church? I'll be honest with you, there was a little bit of fear. You know, there was the fear of change. Nobody likes change. We all like our comfort zone, don't we? Right? We all like it just like baby bears porridge, just right. You know, we don't like it too hot, don't like it too cold. But you know, truth be told, folks, not a lot of things get done for God in our comfort zones. You know, there was a fear of change. There was a fear of the unknown. And it's not necessarily that you know that God can't. You just don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I remember Brother James is going through this right now, trying to find a place to meet. And those of you that helped us with that process for 14 months, going up and down Highway 41, knocking on the doors of farmers, asking them to sell us a piece of farm ground. And I'll never forget those times. And you know, most of us kind of looked at us like we're about half crazy and then got a smile on their face like, yeah, I think it's good you're planting a church, but no, we're not selling you no property. And it happened to us, I think we got shut down like 8 or 9 times. And we're like, God, what's going on? Well, you know what? The Lord had a plan. Amen? And I'm glad His plan wasn't my plan. And I'm glad my plan, I don't know, I think I may have said that wrong. Amen? But I'm glad the Lord knew better than we did. But that just fear of the unknown. But truth be told, the biggest fear I faced was the fear of failure. The fear of failure. You see, folks, I understood what this church invested in, White River Baptist Church, or was going to invest. I'll be honest with you. You know what? I didn't want to fail in that. And you know, the statistics, and I don't know where necessarily they come from, but they say that 50% of all church plants fail. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to be part of that statistic. And so there's, when it comes to these things in life, there's real legitimate fear. When it comes to the things God has called you to do or wants you to step out of your comfort zone and do, no doubt you're going to face some fretfulness, you're going to face some fearfulness. I don't know everyone that's involved in your operation occupation ministry. But you know what? Maybe if you've never been involved with that, or maybe if you have been involved in it, I mean, I don't know how y'all are. I mean, I've been going out knocking on doors since I was a teenager. I still get butterflies going out and doing it a little bit until I get about the first 3 or 4 doors under my belt. And then it's like, man, I like this. Amen. But you got to make yourself sometimes. And no matter what it is, you face when you want to do something for God, there's going to be some fear, there's going to be some fretfulness. Let me just remind you of a truth tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? And that spirit of fear doesn't come from God, I can tell you that. So what I want to do is I want to show you something the Lord showed me out of verse 11 in Psalms chapter 16 and just give you three reasons how not to fret over an unknown future. I love this verse. When I read this verse, it captivated me. And the Lord taught me some things that I want to share with you. Let me read it to you again. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's three things in this verse, and those of you who study the Bible can probably pick them out real quick. Some verses just outline themselves, and this is one of them. Three things I want to show you. Number one, the reason we don't have to fret over an unknown future is because of a path that is shown. A path that is shown. Look what he says, that first phrase. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Now, when I study the Scripture, I like to break down the words and figure out exactly the truth God's trying to show us here. That word show there, it means to personally impart skill. Personally impart skill. You all know this. The best way to learn is hands-on training, right? Now, I know you think you can learn anything by watching YouTube, but I can tell you right now, the best way to learn is hands-on training. Those of you who have learned certain things, all my kids either have learned or in the process of learning musical instruments. And you know how they're doing that? They're having someone teach them, okay? And it's not me, I can tell you that, amen? I can barely figure out how to play the radio, let alone an instrument. And I remember learning to hunt. And my grandpa, of course, taught me how to do that. And what a privilege it is then to pass that down to my sons, my flooring trade. I remember learning that. Brother Bob, see him sit back there in the corner. And that guy is going to get a medal in heaven for putting up with me. I can just tell you that. I don't know how much money I cost him working for him as a teenager, but I'm sure I did. But you know what? Hands-on training. And so it goes with anything in life. The best way to learn is to have skill personally imparted to you. That's what that word show means. The word path there, it means a trodden road, kind of like a caravan. Amen? A caravan. So it's personally imparted. A trodden road or a road that's well traveled. And then we see this. What is that path that is shown to us? It's a path of life. A path of life. And folks, let me tell you what you find out about God when you read the Bible. Our God is a God of life. Amen? A God of life. Genesis chapter 2, you see God breathing into man the breath of life. In Genesis chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 22, you find the tree of life. In John chapter 4, and again Revelation 22, you hear read about the water of life. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus talks about eternal life. John chapter 6, the bread of life. John chapter 10, abundant life. Revelation 17 and chapter 20, the book of life. Revelation chapter 22, the river of life. Everything about our God is that of life. And so here's what that phrase means. All of this life that's found on the path that God, all of life can be found on the path that God wants to personally impart to us. And let me tell you why you don't have to be fretful no matter what's going on around you. Amen? You know why, folks? Because we have a teacher who wants to take us down a well-trodden path, not of fear, not of uncertainty, not of hopelessness, and certainly not of death, but of life. Amen? But of life, a path that is shown. Now, when you look at this path and think about this path, there's a few things that you think about. First of all, it's not always the obvious path. In fact, the context of Psalm 16 is when David was on the run from King Saul. He wasn't safe at home with his family when he found this path. He wasn't on a leisurely stroll with his wife when he found this path. He wasn't having a good old time with the boys when he found this path. He was running for his life. I guarantee you, David probably didn't think being out on the run, hiding in caves, hiding in the wilderness, was where he was going to find what he found, but he did. Amen? And oftentimes the path of life doesn't seem to be the one that we would necessarily choose, nor would it be the one that most people recognize. Not only that, it's not always the easy path. You know, folks, God never promised us a life of ease on this earth. Amen? He never promised us that. Okay? He did promise to lead and guide us, but it was never a path of ease. In fact, you know what Jesus promised us? He promised us eternal life, and he promised us the cross to bear. Amen? And the path of life from a human standpoint may not always be an easy one to walk down, but oh, how important a trek it is. Amen? Folks, it wasn't easy, that path our Savior took as he carried his cross as far as he could to Calvary. The Jews called that path Via Dolorosa, translated the way of suffering. You may be saying, I thought it was supposed to be a path of life. How could it be a path of life when it led to crucifixion, sorrow, and death? But oh, my friend, let me remind you of the words when Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It may have been a path to death, but death was only temporary because out of the shed blood of our Savior came eternal life to the whole world. It's not always an obvious path. It's not always an easy path. Let me say this. It's not a mandatory path. You see, this path of life that God will skillfully instruct us about is only for those who choose to walk its way. Now, you know what? God wants for all of his children to tread its course. He's waiting with a guiding hand to lead us into a way unlike any other we've ever experienced. But you know what? God's not going to force any person to take one step down its direction. It's totally voluntary. And you see, folks, what's happening in our world today, what's going on around us, the fear, the fretfulness, doesn't necessarily surprise me. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't scare me in the least bit. You say, well, how can you be so confident? Well, because the path of life has already been shown to me by God. And it's written just as plain as can be in that King James Bible sitting in your lap. Amen. What's it say in Psalm 119? What do we say when we turn and pledge to that flag? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So why do you not have to fear an unknown future? Fret over it. Because there's a path that is shown. Not only that, what else do we see in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11? We see a presence that is known. Notice what he says here. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Again, define the words. The word presence means awareness. The word fullness means satisfaction. I love that. Satisfaction. That's why as a Christian, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter how hard the wind's blowing or the waves are crashing. If you're in the presence of God, there's a satisfaction and joy that nothing can take from your heart. So here's the translation. As long as I have the presence of God, I don't need anything else. Amen. You may ask yourself, can I always have the presence of God? Is there ever a time as a Christian where his presence isn't with me? Well, let me let the Bible answer that question for you. Psalms 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious, listen to these verses, folks. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than a number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. Talk about a presence that is known. Amen? A presence that is known. I love what Moses said to God when they were having that conversation on Mount Sinai. And God was giving him the law and the instruction to get the people to the wilderness, to the promised land. I love this verse. Here's what Moses said. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation as thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This is God talking. Here's what Moses said. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know what, folks? I relate to that verse. Amen? I agree with Brother Moses. God, listen, Lord, I don't want to experience another year without your presence going with me. Lord, I don't want to try to figure out what I've got to figure out without your presence going with me. God, how can I lead this people if your presence isn't with me? Amen? How can you go and reach the people God wants you to reach on that bus route in your visitation area over in Jasper or wherever God's called you to without his presence? If his presence isn't there, I don't want to be there either. Amen? But let me say this, folks, He is. He is there. He is with us. So praise the Lord for that. So how not to fret over an unknown future? There's a path that is shown. There's a presence that is known. Now this is the one, though, that the last point I want to bring is the one that really captivated me. This is the one that really, the message really developed around the last point. But because you're a good Baptist preacher, you've got to at least have 3 points. Amen? And so, but this is the one I want to get to, because this will really, this is the one that really, really helped me. Notice the last phrase of verse 11. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the last thing that you can have in your life that will help you not fret over an unknown future is a pleasure that is owned. A pleasure that is owned. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That phrase right hand is used 167 times in the Bible. You find it linked to various different meanings in those verses. In Genesis chapter 48, you find it as the hand of blessing. The ancient patriarchs blessed their children and grandchildren with their right hand, as in with the case of Jacob when he stretched it out and blessed Joseph's children. You find in Exodus chapter 15, it's represented as the hand of strength. The right hand is for most people the greatest hand of strength. And it's symbolized in the Scripture when it refers to God in His power. Exodus 15:6, thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. You find it as the hand of sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 20, then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, upon the right tip of the right ear of his sons, upon the thumb of their right hand, on the great toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. You find it in the hand of sovereignty. In the book of Revelation, we see Jesus using his right hand all throughout the book of Revelation. He's the one that's seated on the throne with the scroll in his right hand. We see he opened it from his right hand. In the opening verses of those chapters, we see where he has the seven stars of the churches, the angels in his right hand. And it's a hand of sovereignty. But I don't think that's what this verse is talking about. What in the world could it be referring to when it's talking about pleasures at thy right hand? And here's the main thought. According to the Scripture, let me ask you this, church. What is the most well-known thing to be at the right hand of God? There you go. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing where? On the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing where? On the right hand of God. Let me tell you, folks, why you don't have to be fearful and fretful. Why you don't have to be concerned about what's going on in the world around us. Because our pleasures aren't found in the circumstances of this life. Our pleasures aren't found in the people of this life. They're not found in the possessions of this life. They're not found in anything this world has to offer. You know where they ought to be found at, church? In the one at the right hand of the Father. That's none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You realize Jesus provides all the pleasure your soul ever needs. Yeah. Jesus will provide eternal pleasure. We don't even have time to go there, but I just taught through my church last year, Revelation 21 and 22. We had a good time going through those two chapters, amen? Just a microcosm of what it's going to be like there. You're not telling me there's not going to be some eternal pleasure going on? I mean, those that, of course, we beckon and we plead to accept Christ as Savior. Why? Because of that eternal pleasure. But folks, listen to me. It's not just eternal pleasures He provides. Jesus Christ will provide the pleasures in our lives now. You realize Jesus can and will satisfy that hunger in the soul of mankind? That hunger to be loved? That hunger to be accepted? That hunger of living a life of purpose and meaning, that hunger that we find that the people we're trying to minister to, the people we're trying to reach out to, that hunger they find in their life. Folks, listen, it's not just a cliche. Jesus can satisfy those hungers. Amen. This pleasure that's found in Christ, by the way, isn't the world's definition of pleasure. The pleasure that's found in Christ means, according to the Bible, giving up your life. It means dying to self. It means taking up your cross daily and following Him. That may not seem pleasurable to most. When you think about denying yourself and cross-bearing, that doesn't sound like your typical idea of a good time. But folks, it's not the pleasure in doing those things. It's the pleasure found in the one for whom you're doing them for. The one who you're doing them for. When I thought about that verse, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, truth be told, folks, that ought to be all we need, amen? That'll be all the motivation as a Christian we need to serve the Lord. For that pleasure found at the right hand of God, amen? So, let me encourage you tonight. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. If you're like most, I think all of us struggle from time to time. I don't think there's a Christian here, including the one talking to you, that is where we're all supposed to be. Amen? I'll tell you one thing, what I find out, the more time I spend with God, the closer I get with Him, the worse I realize I truly am. You spend time in the presence of true glory, we'll start realizing, you know, that the things in life that, you know, we want to tap our shell or we want to pat ourselves on the back and get a little tap on the head about, compared to Him, isn't all that. Amen? Okay? I don't know where you're at tonight. Let me just encourage you. God loves us. He cares for it. He wants to use your life. This Sunday night, we're, Brother James is coming Sunday morning. And Sunday night, we're having Levi down. And Levi Hall, the one that goes to this church. Amen? And you know what Levi's coming in to do? He's coming in to give his testimony, and I've been promoting it as a missionary to the workforce. A missionary to the workforce. I just talked to him today about what he's going to do. I'm going to tell you, he's got this thing planned. He's going to have a display table, okay? He's got a piece of coal that's going on the display table. He's got his hat, okay, his coal miner's hat. He's got his pictures of the coal mine. He's even got a 10x10 map of the coal mine. He's like, you think you got a wall free in your church? Sure, we'll find some place for it. Amen. All right. But you know what that is, folks? That's somebody, and not just him. I know this church is full of people just like that. But you know, in the place that God has put him, doing what God's called him to do. Amen. Truth be told, folks, the majority of the people in here, you're not going to be church planters. The majority of the folks in here probably aren't going to go to a foreign mission field. But it still doesn't mean that you can't do and be and accomplish everything God wants for you to. Amen? I mean, the will of God for your life is just as important as the will of God for my life. Amen? As long as you're doing what God's called you to do, you can make a difference and make an impact. And so through the process of that, let me just encourage you. There's going to be some fear. There's going to be some fretfulness. But let's take advice. Let's take heed from the Scripture tonight. And think of and walk on that path that is shown. Dwell in that presence that is known. And experience that pleasure that can be owned. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this simple truth from your word. And God, I pray that we would take the truth, God, and use it, apply it in our hearts and lives, Lord. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for these people. Lord, again, just what a blessing it is to be here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, help us to, as Christians and in the area you called us to, whatever it may be, God, to go forward, to take ground, and to accomplish your will. Bless us, we pray. Bless our invitation time. We ask it in your name. Amen.